Today on Locked On Red Wings, should Detroit extend Mo now? And should they trade for goaltender Connor Hellebuyck?
You're Locked On Red Wings, your daily podcast on the Detroit Red Wings. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to the Locked On Red Wings podcast. We are your hosts, Brian Fisher and Scotty Bentley. I'm a podcast producer for the Daily J, a WWJ news radio podcast. Well, Scotty's a host over at Locked On Tigers, as well as a freelance journalist for the Detroit News. When you guys are done listening to us here at Locked On Red Wings, go ahead and give Scotty a listen over at Locked On Tigers as he, Tigers on a 3L streak right now, right? And they one game below 500 to five games below 500 or something like that. Not great stretch as their season hopes are dying with what Riley Green and Erod on the IL, but.
And like four other people. Yeah.
Scotty will take you through that and just, and give you the hope that Javi Baez is the savior. No, I'm just kidding.
I don't know who you're talking about.
Put words in your mouth.
With that one.
But on today's episode, guys, we got a couple topics for you. One we'll talk about here first in the segment one and probably a little bit in the segment two is regarding the Cole Caulfield extension. Another guy coming out of an entry-level contract who looks like he's going to be a bona fide stud, maybe even a star in the NHL, getting a long-term extension right out of the gate. We saw that last year with Tim Stützle. It's the way the league is going. Jason Robertson's another example. Jordan Kyrou. There's a ton of guys in the NHL who are very young, getting paid immediately long-term contracts. The reason being, because of the fact that if you pay them now and that gamble pays off, that they become that genuine bona fide stud, you're making a great deal on that player. Because as the cap goes up, their value is just going to get better. Years three, four, five, six, seven, eight of that player, if they become that all-star, is a genuine steal at, I think, what is it, 7.78 is what Cole Caulfield is making. And he only played 46 games, but he had 37 points over like 26 goals. You prorate that, and prorating is always, you know, a gamble because you never know if a player's going to, you can carry that production across all 82 as I struggle to finish my sentence there. But if it does, then it's looking like an absolute steal because if you continue to do the bridge contract, the old-fashioned way was contract expires, RFA status, bridge contract. That value slowly gets up, and by the time they hit UFA status, now you got to pay them a lot. Giving them that contract now means you pay them a lot up front, but if they produce at the level you think they can, that contract in, like I said, years five, six, and seven, absolute bona fide value. So my question becomes, Scotty, for you, man, should the Red Wings be doing this to Moritz Seider as soon as possible, and even to a lesser extent, and we talked about this this last offseason, Lucas Raymond. Should they be looking at extending these two guys as soon as possible?
I mean, yeah. Yes, they should, definitely. They absolutely should with Seider. And the thing is, you know, with those deals, like you said, it's really – in a sense, it's a win-win for both parties. Like the player gets long-term security. Like the player at a very, very young age gets long-term security with, you know, life-changing money. Like that's obviously, and it's, you know, assuming they all reach their ceiling, it won't be maximum value for them, but it's still life-changing money over a very, very long-term security time frame, which is great for the player. And then obviously, like you said, with the team, it's a win because if assuming they keep improving, just because you're getting them at a little bit of a discount there for I don't know, second half of the deal, whenever they pass the value that they're paying them AAV wise, from then on out you're getting them on a little bit of a discount. So it's really fascinating and definitely seems to be the trend, not only in hockey, but really across all sports, especially when, you know, early on you have like RFA eligibility and stuff like that and arbitration and whatnot. Like you're just blowing through those years. Like you're just, you know, that's not going to be a thing. We're just going straight to normal contract AAV money. And so that's something that entices a lot of really young players. And for somebody like Seider, I think that it's a slam dunk with him. I really do. And honestly, I think there's also a fascinating conversation with Raymond, just because if you still think that Lucas Raymond is going to be a darn good hockey player and is going to reach his value, there would almost be an argument to do that like ASAP, because there's an argument that his value is never going to be, I don't want to say as low, because that would imply that, like, relatively speaking, as low, right? Like, he still has tremendous value to this organization and just when looking around the league. But, like, there's an argument that, I mean, if he takes a big step forward in year three, then you're going to have to jack that price up. So it's a little bit more of a risk, because, you know, if he ends up just being this level of production player, then obviously you're going to get a lot of backlash, because that's not the player that you're going to sign long term, and that's the risk with all of these deals. But I would say that it's a little spicier, but like I would almost say that if you really truly believe in the upside of Lucas Raymond, you should do that one as soon as possible, because that's the lowest it may ever be again. Whereas Seider, it's already going to be a decently sized number. You're building not only the blue line around him, you're really building the entire franchise, to be completely honest, around him. And that, yeah, that number is always going to be high no matter what. I still want you to do it. I still want you to do it sooner rather than later. But I think the spicier question is almost Raymond.
Yeah, I do want to correct myself too. Cairo did have one bridge contract of like 2 years before he signed the absolute bag. But, you know, outside of that, the point still stands with Stutzla and Cole Caulfield, that this is the trend that we're seeing with these players. And I agree with you, Scotty, 100% with everything you said. I think Moritz Seider is a slam dunk. They both have 1 year left on their ELC. And if you want to wait until end of year three, because they're going to be RFAs, they don't have any
leaving no matter what.
Yeah, they don't have any real, what's the word I'm looking for? Like,
I have no clue.
Power in the negotiation.
Yeah, and they have no leverage. Yeah,
I don't even know if they're arbitration eligible at the end of the year three of their entry level contract. And even if they were, like, you're going to be trying to offer them a bigger contract than they can arbitrate anyways. Yeah. So with Moritz Seider, I'd be comfortable giving it to him as soon as possible.
Same. Yep.
I think after year two, I know he started off the year slow, but the way he recovered the second half of the year, especially that chemistry with Jake Walman, sign him to that long-term contract now. That way, when that contract expires and the cap is a lot higher, he's still in his prime. Like, that contract will expire, and we will have fully realized Moritz Seider at, like, let's say he signs an 8-year deal and he's what, 22 now? So he'll be 30 years old when that expires. That's still like fully realized prime Seider, because prime hockey players, I mean, it's different for every player, but prime can last until 33, 34. You can sign him to another extension after that. So have several more good years. And then Lucas Raymond, on the other hand, my mindset on him has changed a little bit since last offseason. Last offseason, we were riding the high. They both had great seasons. Raymond tapered off a little bit at the end. This year, he definitely had a quote-unquote slump year. Again, 45 points in your sophomore season as a 21-year-old in the NHL is not bad whatsoever. But it was definitely a slower year than in year one. I'm of the mindset that give him another year, see where he's at. And then if in year three, he puts on this muscle in this offseason, he comes out and he has that explosive offense and assists, goals. I don't even, you know, we say a lot that this team really needs a 40 goal scorer. And I want Lucas Raymond to be that guy. But even if he's like a 25 goal scorer, but he has like 50 to 60 assists this season, like just pure playmaking ability, because he has that hockey IQ. Like, first and foremost, he's a playmaker, not a goal scorer, and that's how he's always been. If his point total is in the 75 to 80 point range, give him the extension. But I need one more year out of Raymond before I'm comfortable giving him that extension. But Seider, I screw it, go as soon as possible. He is the man.
Yeah, for sure, and absolutely. That's just why I think the Raymond one is a lot more fascinating, because if you really wanted to maximize value, you would give Raymond, if you wanted to maximize value and you're confident he's still going to turn into what you originally thought, then if you're confident, very confident in both of those things, you would give him a contract immediately, because then you would be thinking that he's only going to get better, his production's only going to get higher, and then the salary is only going to get higher. So if you truly wanted to maximize team value on Raymond and are still a full-blown believer in what he can become, then you would give it to him. You would give him that deal as soon as possible. But if there's any hesitation in what you think his ceiling now is, then obviously you wait.
Absolutely. Completely agree. Scotty, do you have any final thoughts on this conversation? We can move on to Hellebuck in segment two.
Yeah, I don't think so. Just like for Sider especially, just do it.
Give him the bag.
Like, why not?
It's a win-win, right? Like,
there's really no reason not to for Sider.
We think he's like the truest number one defenseman that this team has had since Nicholas Lidstrom. Not to say he's Nicholas Lidstrom tier, but we haven't had one of this caliber since Lidstrom. Cronwall held that fort down for quite a while, but Sider has potential to be better than Cronwall by a long shot.
For sure.
So we're confident in that. And why would Sider turn down the bag? Just give him the money. Just hand him the money, Stevie. Just give it to him. Of course, I'm not the general manager, so don't listen to me.
It's a little more complicated than that.
Yeah. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about Connor Hellebuck. But first, got to talk to you guys today about eBay Motors. For a championship team, it's all about making sure every player is a perfect fit. It's the same when it comes to your vehicle. Every part needs to fit just right. So the next time you need parts and accessories, head to eBay Motors. With eBay Guaranteed Fit, you can be sure every part you need fits right the first time around. Just add your ride to My Garage and look for the green check to know when those parts will fit or your money back. Because just like in sports, confidence is the name of the game when you shop on eBay Motors. And with over 122 million parts to choose from, you'll be back in the game in no time. After all, it's easy to bring home a win when the right parts are guaranteed. Get the right parts, the right fit, and the right prices on ebaymotors.com. Let's ride. eBay Guaranteed Fit, only available to U.S. customers. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. Segment two, Locked On Red Wings podcast. Scotty and I are going to transition now to talking about Connor Hellebuck. And you know what I realized, Scotty, as we were wrapping up segment one, I looked over at the little On Today Show thing. I spelled Hellebuck's name wrong. It goes Y-C-K, E-Y-K. I was like, oops. So I'm going to call myself up before one of our snarky commenters does it. Love you guys, by the way. Thank you, Scotty. I am bald. I shaved it fresh this weekend for my proposal, so I had to look good.
Looking good, man.
I do. I always look good, though.
I agree.
Thanks, buddy. We're never nice to each other on this show. This is weird. Let's stop that. Got to cut that out.
People always are like, wow, you guys
really,
you guys really go at each other. Like,
So, yes. Anyways, as expected, Scotty, the Winnipeg Jets might be poised for a blow-up this offseason. And Daily Faceoff, Frank Saravelli posted an article talking about trade targets on the Winnipeg Jets that he could see and rumblings he's hearing that are like prime candidates to be moved. And there are four that he mentioned. Connor Hellebuck, Mark Scheifele, Pierre-Luc Dubois, and notice I know how to say Dubois. That's a French-Canadian name I do know how to pronounce. And Blake Wheeler. Now, notably not on here is Kyle Connor, who, of course, us here at Lockdown Red Wings, ever since Prashant mentioned his name, we're pretty high on. But admittedly, given his age and the length and the 10-year remaining on his contract, kind of felt like a long shot to begin with. It was a dream scenario. Connor Hellebuck, however, makes sense. He's 30 years old. He has makes sense for Winnipeg to move. Preface that with context. He's 30 years old, has 1 year left remaining on a contract, 6.16. He's a Vezina winning goalie. He has not had a single year in his career where he's posted a sub 907 save percentage. He has been a stud every single year of his career. And this year, Scotty, he had a goals save above expected of 33.62. That was fourth in the NHL behind Ilya Sorokin, Juuse Saros, and Linus Ullmark. I mean, those are absolute stud names to be in. I mean, he's a perennial Vezina candidate, like maybe not in the top three, like a finalist, but a candidate every single year. He's a prime trade target. He's from Michigan. Should the Red Wings make a play for him?
This is a super fascinating conversation for a lot of different reasons. And I think the biggest one is not fit in the sense of, do the Red Wings need a goalie? Because we all know that they do, right? Obviously, there is everyone would be thrilled to get a goalie of his caliber. on this hockey team. So certainly there's a fit there. But the big question with him is there a fit in the Red Wings acquiring him? Is there a fit in how the Red Wings acquire him, rather? Because he still has, what, one more year left on his deal?
One more. Yep, one more.
And so, obviously, if you're going to acquire him, you are not acquiring a 30-year-old goalie for one season. Like, the assets that you would have to give up to get him, it just wouldn't make sense from the Red Wings' perspective to trade for him and then only keep him for 1 year. This is absolutely an instance in which the Red Wings would be trading for him and then extending him immediately. Like, as soon as they possibly can, they would be trying to work out and just honestly maybe even have an understanding beforehand. Like, that's how guaranteed it would be. Like, they would not do this trade to not extend him right away. And so you have to think of two things then. A, the assets that it would take to acquire him, which is not going to be cheap. He's one of the premier, not only goalies, but players in the NHL. And B, his contract currently is 6.1 mil AAV. Are we assuming
he'll get more than that?
He would get a raise from that? I mean, he'd be 31, I guess, by the time the current contract ends. I can't imagine he would be getting like a huge, not demotion, but like salary cut, right? So, I mean, you're talking about a pretty substantial hit to the cap that you have left for a goalie. Now, it wouldn't just be like a 50-50 split as far as the amount of times he'd be in net. This dude has led goalies in games played in 1, 2, 3, 4 of his last 6 seasons, including this year. He was in net 64 times for the Winnipeg Jets. So, like, this isn't, he's going to be in, like, I'm not going to pay someone $6.5 million to be in net, you know, 45 times. Like, this dude can play 2/3 of your games and even creep up on 3/4 of your games. He's had a 67 game played season. This year was 64. He's led the league with 58. Like, he's going to play. So it's a really fascinating conversation for all those reasons I laid out. Like, you're going to have to pay up financially. You're going to have to pay up assets wise, but also, you're not just getting a split. You're getting a true number one. This dude's going to be in net for a majority of games.
Yes. That is the big distinction, right? Is the price going to be worth it in the long run? Because you're getting a guy, trying to think of the best way of saying this right now, Scotty. If you told me today, and just on the premise of asking me, do I want Connor Hellebuyck on the Red Wings? Of course, my answer is yes. I mean, this is, like you were saying, one of the most consistent goalies in the NHL, and he's going to give you the most consistent amount of games played in the NHL every single season. He will make the Red Wings better, but to your credit, he will not be cheap. He is going to be an expensive, expensive option, and you're not going to acquire him without the knowledge that you're going to give him an extension. We said it on yesterday's episode, Scotty, but in the NHL, it's almost considered like a taboo to give goalies big bags of money. Big bags of money. I mean, look at how, now it's going to sound like I'm going to sound like a clown right now for saying it at this very moment, but think about how Florida fans have felt about the Sergei Bobrovsky extension. Or the signing, $10 million for as long a tenure as he's got. That has been a really tough pill to swallow more years than not for the
Panthers. He's just such a roller coaster, but that's why
he's great right now. Right. Fantastic.
That's why people don't give big contracts to goalies as far as years go, is because he's not like a one-off case. That's the norm. Like,
they're
goalies,
so fickle.
Yeah, goalies have such a tendency to be great 1 year and bad the next, and really go up and down constantly. So that is exactly why. Like, I don't think it sounds weird at all. Like, that this is a prime example. He has the ability to be a $10 million AAV goalie. We're seeing it right now, but he also has the ability to put up a sub 900, which we've seen. Like,
Bobrovsky, yes.
Not not even like just once. Like it was a huge deal, obviously. And it's something that multiple teams he's been on have like done everything in their power just to offload him at times. Like,
but in the same vein, X doesn't equal Y. Like just because this happened to Bobrovsky doesn't mean it's going to happen.
This is, this is to do with a 916 career save percentage that, again, in his games played in his career, 64, 66, 45 bubble year, 58, 63, 67, 56. That's literally every year since his rookie year games played.
And every single one of those years, he has had a save percentage of 907 or better.
Yeah, career 916, and it's not like an inconsistent 916. It's every single year from really between 910 and 924 pretty much every year.
You know the Red Wings didn't have last year? A goalie above 900 save percentage. So
certainly. I mean, just didn't have anyone in really viable in that after the new year.
So if you ask yourself the question, Scotty, am I willing to pay him the money after acquiring him through a trade? And the answer to that is yes. Okay, good. Now we've passed step two. Step one is, do you want him? Obviously, yes. Step two is, are you willing to pay him? Because that's going to be a lot of your cap hit.
Pay him. Now we have to find out if we're willing to pay him and pay the Winnipeg Jets the assets.
Yes, and we're going to talk about that, Scotty, in segment three. So stay tuned to Locked On Red Wings. Segment three, Locked On Red Wings podcast. Scotty and I are talking about a trade for Connor Hellebuyck. One other thing regarding the salary cap. You pay him $10 million, so to speak. You give him Sergei Bobrovsky money. That's $10 million you can no longer pay other members of your team. Again, you compare it to the Bobrovsky, some seasons it hasn't worked out. Some seasons it works out great. Like they're in the Stanley Cup final this year. So right now it doesn't really look like a great comparison when you're trying to use that as a point against paying him the big bucks. But, and he's also been far more consistent across his career. But if you say again, if you say yes to both those things, which I think you could convince me on just based on his consistency alone. I know goalies, of course, are super fickle. He could fall off at any moment, but he hasn't shown that he's prone to doing that. So I would have more faith in Hellebuyck staying consistent than any other goalie you would give that money to. So if you're on the premise that you'd say yes to getting him, yes to acquiring him, and then yes to paying him the contract extension, now we're on the, would you say yes to what you'd have to give up to get him? And Scotty, I saw a mock trade from a Winnipeg journalist, a media person from that area. And right now I cannot quite recall who it's from. So you're gonna have to take it on faith that I saw this, but I remember exactly what the trade was. And it was Ville Husso. Okay. Goalie for goalie. The ninth overall pick. Okay. We got lots of picks, but then Marco Kasper on top of that, because remember the Winnipeg Jets are going to want NHL ready players off the bat. Cause they're not looking for a full rebuild. They're looking for like a revamp, a retool. Are you willing to trade Husso, your ninth overall pick, and Marco Kasper for a goalie, which does fill a need, but does that fix the Red Wings?
Yeah, I'm kind of scrapping this entire thing and starting over. Like I and it's not to say that like the value itself is like too far off, but this is just, I don't think this in general makes too much sense for the Red Wings to do. I don't think they're in a hurry to get rid of Kasper for starters. That's a really, really tough sell for a great goalie, but albeit a 30-year-old goalie. And then I think the other part of that like really under the radar kind of scratched my head was throwing Husso in there. That may make sense for the Jets to do. I don't think that makes a lick of sense for the Red Wings to do. And that's, again, not to say that you wouldn't be acquiring the dude who's going to be in net for 55-plus games, but you are still then in a very similar, not close to the same, not calling Husso somebody who's going to give a 916 over 60 games, but you're in a similar situation again where then you still need to go out and find another goalie. Like I think with what you are currently, where the organization currently stands with Husso contract-wise and all that, I don't think they would just, okay, we're going to get like pay all this money and get rid of all these assets and then still have to go out and sign a backup goalie at the end of all this. Like I feel like that that doesn't make too much sense from the Red Wings' perspective either. But nine, I think is a great starting point. I think that pretty much has to be involved. And then like certainly some darn good prospects, if not more first round draft assets either this year or down the road.
Yeah. So it was the Winnipeg Sun that had proposed this trade. I just looked it up to double check because I'd forgotten when we were, I was about to propose it, but yes, I'm in agreement. I think you're giving up too much to fix a problem that isn't your biggest issue right now. It is an issue, but your number one issue right now is if I were to rank them 1 through 3, it would be you need a goal scorer, like a bona fide goal scorer. You need more right-handed defensemen or just right defensemen. They don't have to be right-handed, but someone who plays the right side naturally. And then you also need goaltending. That's 3 on my list. Well, because I still think Ville Husso can be that at least 1A. And then your Sebastian Kosa is hopefully 2 to 3 years away. So to throw away your 9th overall pick, Marco Kasper and Ville Husso, I think you're giving up, you're mortgaging too much of your future on offense to get, again, a Vezina. He's a great goaltender, but I think that you're giving up too much to fix a problem that isn't as urgent as the things you're giving up. You know, like you need a number two center. That's what Marco Kasper is supposed to be. Why would you give the number two center and then give up the 9th overall pick, which could then be used to fix that hole you just created again? Like, it makes no sense to trade both of those things. If you want to say 9th overall pick or 17th overall pick and put that in there, if you want to even say Ville Husso, I could be, but like Marco Kasper is a non-starter for me. Right now, you cannot trade Marco Kasper for a goalie. Now, if you want to trade Marco Kasper for a guy who's going to come in immediately and score you a ton of goals or play second line center, like then maybe there's a conversation to be had. I'd still be very, very skeptical about making that kind of trade. But for a goalie, I think that you're giving up way too much for him. Even if he is a Vezina caliber goalie, you're making your team's shallowest area of your depth chart even shallower by giving up Kasper and your 9th overall pick for a goalie, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, I think the other like weird part about the entire thing is if you are so like when looking at goalie and looking at what goal the what you are trying to improve in between the net, it's not necessarily that you need a bona fide number one, like top end goalie in the NHL. Like that's not necessarily what you're looking for right now. You know what I mean? Like you want to improve in that, and you definitely need someone else that plays goalie to go alongside Husso. But that almost seems like your upgrading and your I don't want to say way more than you need to, because again, like that would be an incredible get, and if the price is right, obviously everyone is going to welcome that addition. But like you're currently looking for someone, it would just be a lot of assets to bring in a player that, while it does fill a hole, it's I'm having a hard time wording clearly what I'm trying to say, but it's you're addressing it, which is great, but you're overpaying to address it to an extreme.
Yes. That's perfect. I think that is the perfect way of putting it.
You're paying a lot of money and a lot of assets to address a need to a super extreme, which again is not necessarily the worst thing in the world, and everyone would love it. But also, if you use those assets that you have, don't go and make this trade, and instead go get a really solid 1B caliber goalie and then use the leftover assets to then go address goal scoring, I think that might be a better use of assets. I guess that's kind of my main point, is you're over addressing a need for a lot of assets when you could kind of spread around what you do have a little bit better and maybe fill more holes at the end of the offseason.
Here's the other question too. Like, and we're running out of time here, but this is something we haven't addressed. What do you do with Sebastian Kosa if you acquire Connor Hellebuyck?
I don't really know if that's too much of a thing.
Well, because like you drafted him first round, like you just saying that we're throwing that pick away, or are you still stashing him saying like how can he be your goalie of the future if you're trading for and then long-term extending another goalie?
Would because he's a decade younger.
I understand that. And like maybe you could have like a what the Florida Panthers are doing. Again, bring up the Panthers again as another comparable.
He could be Hellebuck's number two for like a year or two and then take over. I mean, like I wouldn't be as worried about that. I mean, he's still years away from the NHL regardless, and Hellebuck's already 30. Like I wouldn't be too pressed about that, but just it just feels like a lot of like pushing everything way, like chips all in one basket, like to a huge extreme, and kind of handicapping you from addressing other areas that you need to address.
Yeah.
Just so that you can overcompensate for the hole you have at 1B goaltender.
Yeah. That's perfect. I mean, this team has other more pressing needs, and on surface level, absolutely, I want Hellebuck on the Red Wings.
For sure.
But it would have to be a perfect scenario where you're not tying yourself to too much money to him on an extension, and you're not giving up too much in a trade to acquire him. And I just don't know if that's possible. So while on the surface level, the answer is, of course, I don't know if it's possible. The Red Wings could do it. They have the draft space and the capital to do it, or not the draft space, the cap space and the capital to do it. But I don't know if it's the right decision to make for this Detroit Red Wings team. And in fact, Matt Larkin of Daily Faceoff posted an article today of top five destinations for Connor Hellebuck, and the Red Wings weren't one of them. So Connor Hellebuck, I feel like, is going to be a goalie that's going to go to a team that is ready to compete now, like the New Jersey Devils, who need that bona fide Vezina goalie.
Right.
So
yeah,
I would love him, but I don't know if it makes the most sense to acquire him at this stage.
It's not tough to line up for Winnipeg. It's tough to line up for Detroit.
Yeah. So, all right, Scotty, it's crazy to say that we'd say no, like not no, but like it seems unlikely. It's crazy to say that because this team needs a goalie.
Yeah. I would not. I would very much not like reject him coming here. It would just,
you'd have to be under perfect circumstances.
Yeah, the stars would really have to align for both teams, I think. It's a tough fit.
Another 30-year-old that the Winnipeg Jets have that I think would make for an interesting conversation that maybe we do on a different episode is Mark Scheifele.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Another 40-goal scorer that they have on their roster that is on Cervelli's four likely to be moved. So he might make an interesting guy. So maybe we'll talk about that on a different episode. But for as of today, that does it for us. Scotty, any final thoughts?
Draft Brian Fisher in the 7th and we ball.
I've been hearing rumblings that he might go top three. I don't know.
What? Some people are saying he's better than Fantilli. Yeah, it's a back and forth race.
I saw a thing. I think Laura from Locked On Canadiens retweeted it. Some anonymous scout was saying Reinbacher might go top three, or hey, like he has him in his top three. And Laura was like, "Yeah, that anonymous scout is his agent," because it's like that. That's that stuff that every agent does to try and like inflate the stock of this prospect. Yeah. Reinbacher is going to probably be a top 10 defenseman, at least top 15. He's great. He's one of the best in the draft class, but this is such a forward heavy draft class. It's crazy.
It wouldn't shock me if there wasn't a defenseman taken in the entire top
10. I'm not going to lie. I mean, he fits the bill as a defenseman the Red Wings could want. Over 6 foot, right-handed, D. Like if the Red Wings took him, despite the fact that they need scoring, the Red Wings took him with a draft pick at 9, or if he fell to 17, I'd take him in a heartbeat, which I don't think is going to happen. Yeah. We'll talk about Reinbacher this week, actually. This is a great tease. We're supposed to have Tony Ferrari on tomorrow, and we're going to talk defense with him. One of those players is going to be Reinbacher, so stay tuned for that on Locked On Red Wings. Same time, same place. It's your team every day.
Every day.